Tuesday.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening for the Worldwide Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship.
Wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, our first event of the evening is a one-fall match with a 15-minute time limit.
There ain't nobody in wrestling who can make me quit. And that's the bottom line, cause Stone Cold said so.
Tuesday.
We are what wrestling's all about. New York City here, Chicago here, JD on my left, Linda on my right. But I'm not telling any of the girls who I'm going to give it to in Chicago until that night. Woo!
Tuesday, wrestling. Tuesday returns to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
It's Tuesday, Wrestling Tuesday with me, Jonathan Hood. So glad that you are with us on this special edition of Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood, on Facebook, facebook.com, also on Instagram, igjhood. The reason why that we are doing this particular show is because of Hell in a Cell. And plus, we got to do a little catch-up of some of the other events that has already taken place in the world of wrestling / sports entertainment. So we'll talk about it here on this podcast. For those of you that were listening to Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday on the radio on ESPN 1000 Chicago, I appreciate your support throughout the summer. To let you know that the reason why that we do it every Tuesday after SmackDown Live, the reason why we did that is because it's the summertime. And we have more time on the air in the summertime for me. And so the reason why that we enjoy to do this, we've been doing this, I think 3 or 4 years on Tuesday nights during the summer. Because there's a lot of action going on, it really deserves to have a space on ESPN 1000. People need to hear more wrestling conversation because wrestling is an all-time high right here. And so that's why we did it. And every now and then, you're going to hear a Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday podcast like this one popping up, especially when there's been special events. Before I get to Hell in a Cell, before I get into some of the other issues around wrestling, let me get to All In. Because I saw a number of you on Facebook, facebook.com, and we will answer some of your questions here on the program about the All-In event that took place around the Labor Day weekend at the Sears Center in suburban Chicago, Illinois. And I really enjoyed the whole thing when it comes to All-In. Here's why I enjoyed it so much. I enjoyed it because, number one, it took place in Chicagoland, which was just great. What a great wrestling town. If you've never been to a wrestling event in Chicago, you just have to go because professional wrestling in the city, in the surrounding suburbs, has been tremendous for many, many years. Going back to the 1960s, Buddy Rogers, Nature Boy Buddy Rogers as a champion, where they used to have a lot of great matches at Comiskey Park, before my time, by the way. At the International Amphitheater in Chicago, 43rd and Halsted, great matchups there at the International Amphitheater. Obviously at the Rosemont Horizon / Allstate Arena, UIC Pavilion. There's been so many great events for professional wrestling over the years, and that's the reason why that Chicago is a great wrestling city. It's no question. So for the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes to choose Chicago as their first All-In event, I thought it was a no-brainer. I said, well, if it's going to be at the Sears Center and people know who Cody Rhodes is, people know who the Young Bucks are, this thing is going to do well. I didn't expect for it to sell out in 30 minutes like it did. Over 10,000 seats sold just like that for an All-In event. And I think it took Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks and many others off guard because this all stemmed from a dare, by the way. A dare from Dave Meltzer. He was asking a question. Dave Meltzer, a longtime wrestling journalist, was asked on Twitter, do you think that an independent wrestling show can draw over 10,000 people? And Dave said, not anytime soon. And guess what? It was great. 10,000 people. I saw the event. It was great. I was not there at All In. I was able to watch it on the Fight app. The reason why is because I had a college football program to do. We had to launch Chicago's College Tailgate with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah and I. So I was not there for the event. We had to launch that college show, and I wanted to make sure that it got off the ground as we had a great show in South Bend, Indiana. So I was not there for the event, but I did see it. But I also was there for StarCast. Let me tell you the story about that. You can go into the archives of the Under the Hood podcast. Just look for StarCast/All In. You can actually go back and hear that broadcast I did with Steve Arendt. This was a great opportunity to broadcast live from StarCast. It was incredible to work with Steve Arendt because he was a student at IMS and also a broadcaster, had his own show at Illinois Media School. And Illinois Media School, if you know me, you know that I have a relationship with Illinois Media School where I've been a teacher there, as a consultant there, still working with Illinois Media School. And immediately those that are in charge at the Lombard campus said, yes, we should do a live broadcast from StarCast. And they didn't hesitate. We did a broadcast from there. Again, you can hear that entire broadcast where we got a chance to talk to Road Warrior Animal. I talked to Dave Lagana from the National Wrestling Alliance and really painted a picture, I think, of StarCast and how great that was on that Thursday before the All In show. So, again, go back to the archives. You can listen to it if you missed it. But we had a great time doing that broadcast. As far as the All-In card is concerned and the pageantry around it, because, man, just there's so many people that are rooting for independent wrestling. So many people are rooting for this particular card because CMLL and Ring of Honor and Impact Wrestling and many other wrestling companies were involved in this one event. And so you were wondering, okay, what kind of reaction would people get? Yes, the tickets are sold out, but will people care? WGN America had a pre-game show, or I guess a pre-match show, that Saturday night before the pay-per-view. That drew over 200,000 viewers live. I think that was at 5 o'clock Central Time on that Saturday of the All-In event. That is pretty strong for a Saturday where people are like, okay, here's the pre-game show. I'm going to find WGN America and watch it. That's quite the rating for a Saturday afternoon for people to be involved in, again, a non-WWE event, a non-Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling event that many people watch on WGN America into the pay-per-view. I mean, that All-In special on WGN America interrupted the marathon of Cops, because I think that day was just like a whole bunch of Cops episodes, and buried right there in the middle at 5 o'clock was that All-In kind of special for WGN America. So that's pretty cool. As far as the card was concerned, there's a lot to like there, obviously. Okada against Marty Scurll might have stolen the show, might have. Omega and Penta El-Zero was a terrific matchup as well. I'm a big Okada fan. Who isn't? When you take a look at what he's been able to accomplish at IWGP as a longtime champion, Marty Scurll, we haven't even seen the best of him. I know that there's even more to see from him. I thought that they had a tremendous match. I think they might have had the longest match on the card, if I can remember that. I think they went over 25 minutes, 26 minutes, but I think that they had a great match. I think Omega was very good as well against Penta El-Zero. That was a terrific matchup. I enjoyed watching the NWA World Championship matchup as well with the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes, taking on Nick Aldis. Now, for my standpoint, Cody Rhodes versus Nick Aldis was the main event. And nothing against the Golden Elite, against Bandido, Rey Fénix, and Rey Mysterio. I just believe that the reason why that I was even connected to this event is because of the National Wrestling Alliance. Watch the NWA going back to 1986. In 86, my first match I saw was the Rock and Roll Express against Ivan Koloff and Crusher Khrushchev. A great match that sold me because that was the first match that came over through syndicated television. And I saw that. I said, wow, what is going on here? It looks like a college basketball game. It looks like a college football environment. And that was just a great match, and it really attracted me to the NWA since then. But I think if you go back into the archives and go to YouTube.com, and you can see it for yourself, the NWA has done a terrific job of telling the story of the National Wrestling Alliance title. And it's not necessarily about all about wrestling as much as it is just the story of that championship. I think that that's great. I think the storyline of that is great. If you haven't seen that, go to episode one and just continue to watch. I think that Dave Lagana and others that have put that together on YouTube.com is great. So subscribe to the NWA page and you can see the story. Nick Aldis and Cody Rhodes actually had a story. A lot of cold matches on here as well on this all-in event, but nothing meant more to me than that matchup there because it was the Cody Rhodes trying to win a championship that his father once held on three different occasions. Nick Aldis, after all of the start and stop of his career, being kind of in the middle, not necessarily the man at TNA/Impact Wrestling, for him to finally climb the mountaintop and meet the NWA champion, and that story with Cody Rhodes, I thought that was very compelling. Even though it was sixth on the card, I still think that that was the main event. That's the reason why, if I was going to buy a ticket, that's the reason why I would be there. I thought some of the other matches were very good as well, just to see Flip Gordon. Haven't seen a ton of him, but I've seen enough of him to know that he is a terrific star. And watching the craziness of Joey Janela and Hangman Page, just crazy. Seeing Jay Lethal turn into Black Machismo against Flip Gordon for the Ring of Honor title, that's just great. So I just thought that overall, for the most part, I thought the card was very, very good. Enjoyed it a lot. And StarCast, as I mentioned before, because of the success and the amount of money that was made, man, I can see that there's going to be an all-in too and another StarCast as well. Just to be on Radio Row for that broadcast for StarCast was just great. And hopefully I'll get a chance to do it again. They probably should bring it back to Chicago. It was just so successful. But I could see it maybe moving around and being an annual thing. You know, Conrad Thompson, put a lot of it together. He is a podcast genius working with Tony Schiavone, working with Bruce Pritchard, working with Eric Bischoff on three successful podcasts. Those are three great podcasts. They're in the top 200 as far as the sports and recreation category is concerned. So I think that All In could be a second event because that first one was successful, sold out quickly, and I thought the card was great. Great to see Cody Rhodes win the championship, so I think that's all great. I want to point out something, though, regarding the state of wrestling before I go into some of these other things. I've heard Bully Ray say this on Busted Open on SiriusXM. He does a great job with Dave LaGreca on that Busted Open show that's on SiriusXM. If you have SiriusXM, there's a five-day-a-week wrestling show that you gotta hear. I think they do a great job on that particular program. You gotta see that. It's every day, 8 to 11 Central Time. And of course, there's on-demand features as well for you to hear it. And Dave's a frequent guest on the show. I've heard Dave LaGreca say it, the Vice President of the National Wrestling Alliance, and many others, talking about the WWE and how some have an issue with the booking at the WWE. And as soon as a fan or a broadcaster says something about the WWE and how things are going, whether it's positive or negative, especially those that question the booking, immediately the shift goes to, well, look at how much money that they were able to get from the Fox deal for next year. I mean, it's in the billions. They'll be able to be on regular Fox television next fall in 2019, and look how much money they got to it. Look at how much they're getting from sales, from butts and seats on house shows and pay-per-views, and how they're all over the world and all this other stuff. And look what's happening, you know, on Wall Street when it comes to WWE. Can I tell you something? None of that really matters. Because if you are a diehard wrestling fan, the last thing that you want is your intelligence insulted. And for a guy like me that's been watching this stuff since the late 70s with my grandfather taking me to see Vern's TV, seeing this, the AWA back in the day, I know when the business is down. I know when the business is not so good. I've been in and out of watching wrestling for a long time. So many of you drag me back in based on your knowledge of me knowing something about wrestling. You guys drag me back in and make me do shows and ask me all these questions. So, I mean, honestly, I've been in and out of the business for a long time. The state of the business is interesting because anywhere you look, whether it is Impact Wrestling or New Japan Pro Wrestling or Ring of Honor or the WWE or MLW, which we'll talk about in a little bit on MLW Fusion that's on the BN Network, and so many other companies around the country, super independents and small independent companies. Yes, it is a great time to be a wrestling fan. I will also say this, that just because the WWE is the big dog doesn't mean that they can't be questioned. You can continue to draw money and television ratings from Raw and SmackDown and have the WWE Network and have all the success, but still, you can still look at the company and be able to criticize it. And there's some things that still are a head-scratcher in many, many ways. Yes, there's success, because when you eat so much dog food, you start to really enjoy the taste of it. And I think that is the case for some, where it's like, oh, well, the WWE draws all this money and, you know, they're family-friendly, so I'm going to go to a WWE show, and no matter what happens, I'm going to watch it because I have no other alternative. And that's not true. There are a lot of alternatives when it comes to wrestling. To me, professional wrestling is the best when you have alternatives. The professional wrestling for me, especially in the 80s, was the best because you had different options. Territorial wrestling was the best at its time because of the many different options that you had. Whether you are living and listening to the show in Portland or listening to it in Memphis, or if you are in Florida for a championship wrestling from Florida, or world-class championship wrestling from Dallas, or the wrestling in San Francisco and Los Angeles and Boston and New York and Minneapolis with Vern's TV and Canada and the Maritimes, Hawaii, Polynesian wrestling, wrestling all over the country in the 70s and 80s, it was always at its best because, to me, wrestling was always its best when it was regional, because of the different type of styles and everything wasn't the same. Vanilla ice cream might be good, but if you don't have any other flavors, what good is it when everybody's licking on the same cone, if you pardon the expression? And so I look at it like where we are today, where there are many times that I will not watch Monday Night Raw. First of all, I'm working. That's number one. But secondly, I'm not going to spend 3 hours watching Monday Night Raw because I can get on Hulu or watch YouTube and see the highlights of what happened without getting through all the fluff and the matches that are all kind of the same. And so the same thing with SmackDown. I'll probably watch more SmackDown than I will the Monday Night Raw, some of the other shows, because it's actually more wrestling-centric. It's actually more mat-based. It's more storyline-based. It's a little bit edgy at times with some of the language. And so that's the difference between the two shows. But I don't understand how many will can criticize a storyline, and then someone else will say, well, you know, look at how successful they are. Well, I mean, that's just like with any other team in sports. It's Alabama. It's the New York Yankees. It's the Boston Red Sox. You can always look at successful teams and still wonder, okay, if they did this, would they be even better? And it's okay to be able to pick that apart. New England Patriots, the same thing. You can always look at a successful franchise, a successful business, and say, yes, they're on top of the mountain, but because it's never complete. The WWE is not necessarily complete. I think that there's still a lot of holes in their booking. I'll give you an example as I segue to Hell in the Cell. So this is the pay-per-view that took place in San Antonio, Texas. And so one of the things that I always have a problem with, especially as of late, is that AJ Styles, someone who I'm a big fan of, I mean, who isn't a big fan of AJ Styles, the kind of performer that he is? He's the WWE champion. He is the brand's champion, but can't get in the main event. I think that, for me, the more interesting storyline of everyone that has a title, because everyone's got a title in the WWE, is AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe. I think that has shown that it is a much better story than the championship matchup that took place in Hell in the Cell with Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. I thought that AJ Styles and Samoa Joe might have stolen Hell in the Cell because of the story and plus of how solid it was. It was simply a phenomenal matchup in Hell in the Cell. I enjoyed that. That's what a world title match is supposed to look like. Now you juxtapose that to the Universal Championship with Roman Reigns. The Roman Reigns story is interesting because I said this many times on the program. Someone had to replace John Cena as someone that is a super baby face that's just going to get booed. 2018, this is where it is, where fans are going to boo Roman Reigns for no reason. For no reason. Some believe he's just a corporate champion and he's kind of in that Cena mold, so they're going to boo him. And others are just going to just like robotize sheep because you boo him, then I got to boo him. Roman Reigns has performed and has come through more times than not in WWE. And he takes on Braun Strowman. And the reason why that match was not necessarily hot to me is because Braun Strowman is a guy that could definitely be the number one babyface good guy in that company. And then all of a sudden now he's siding with Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre, and I find that to be very odd. It's out of place as Braun Strowman is knocking over and turning over ambulances, and he's doing all this destructive stuff, but still getting over as a babyface. And now he's in a spot very similar to how Daniel Bryan was with the Wyatt family. You know how odd that was? You remember that? And it's the same thing with Braun Strowman in this spot. Maybe it's going to come out to something that we're not expecting in the next few weeks, the next few months, but I just think I find that to be an odd fit because clearly Vince McMahon wants to be able to juxtapose Braun Strowman as some kind of bad guy or a heel against Roman Reigns as a babyface, and that's just not working because many, many fans that you hear in those arenas want Braun Strowman to be the WWE champion, rather the Universal Champion. They want Braun Strowman to be the champion. And anything to make Roman Reigns lose, that's what people want. And so it's funny when I hear Stephanie McMahon in some of these non-wrestling affairs where she's speaking in front of some foundation or some company, and she says, well, the reason why we have so much success is because, well, we listen to our fans. They don't listen to the fans. They listen to that boardroom. They couldn't care less about what you think or what I think. They just do what they think is best. And then, of course, it starts and ends with Vince McMahon and what he thinks. But Roman Reigns against Braun Strowman ends up in a no contest. It was such a bad finish, and here's why. It's a bad finish because as you saw Brock Lesnar come down the aisle, and he kicks the door open, right? So immediately, the referee should have called for the bell. Like, okay, now there's interference, so you got to call for the bell. So Brock Lesnar knocks out Roman Reigns, knocks out Braun Strowman, and immediately the bell should have rang. But no, the referee was looking at both wrestlers and go, these guys can't perform. We're going to throw this match out. The timing of it was really bad. It's a double disqualification because clearly McMahon did not want Strowman to lose. He didn't want Roman to lose. So that was the best course of action, putting Brock Lesnar with his mustache and beard in the matchup and to interfere in that Hell in the Cell. Now, it was chaotic. It was interesting. But at the same time, I think that the WWE Championship was a much better matchup as it was AJ Styles getting over Samoa Joe. But just little things like that is just kind of quirky for the booking where you have clearly, at the best, two baby faces in Braun Strowman against Roman Reigns, but you're making it seem like that Braun Strowman's the bad guy because you want Roman Reigns to be in that John Cena mold and it's just or this Hogan mold. It's just not working. AJ Styles is the guy, but he's still in the middle of the card, and he's the company champion. It's very strange. It's very strange. And again, I will continue to criticize when I see something like that because it's almost like a waste of time. The other thing, too, is the tag team match that took place, the Raw tag team match, Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre against Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. And so Ziggler and McIntyre are the champions, and they retain the titles. That very well could have also stolen the show as well. That was quite a matchup. And I know that McMahon, once again, not necessarily into tag team wrestling, which is stupid to me, because it's been woven in the fabric of the business for a long time, not only singles matches, but also tag team matches. But you had four terrific athletes there that really put on a terrific show. They had plenty of time to tell their story, and I thought that they did really, really well, those four. I enjoyed the hell out of that match up there between those four. Good to see Dolph Ziggler in a position, by the way, to be really in a main event type of scenario, not only as the tag team champion, but also part of the Hell in the Cell, as Ziggler and McIntyre and Rollins and Ambrose both get on top of the cell. By the way, as an aside, those four climbing the cell also took the steam out of the Hell in the Cell match between Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. Why are those four up there? You know why? Because it's almost like they needed something extra, because Roman Reigns Braun Strowman was not good enough. I mean, you think on the surface that's a good enough matchup, but I think it's kind of funny that those four had to come out and kind of disrupt things, where Roman Reigns is laying out for 5 to 10 minutes, and so was Braun Strowman. And so there you go. Oh, and one other thing, by the way, as I go back to that that matchup, did you notice that Brock Lesnar comes in and gives an F5 to Braun Strowman and one to Roman Reigns, and they both were knocked out? That's funny, because I thought that it took like 4 or 5 F5s for Brock Lesnar to finally knock out Roman Reigns to retain a championship at one point. I thought that that was... I thought that's what I saw, but I guess, once again, McMahon looking at us like we're idiots, like we don't understand, like from show to show we know what it takes. I just think this the psychology of sort of some of this stuff is just insulting. That's all I'm saying. And I think the psychology was much better back in the day, where from an episodic standpoint, week after week leading into an event, you remember what happened week in and week out to be able to lead into a major event, instead of, okay, one F5 knocks out Roman Reigns. Well, I thought it took 4 or 5, like a couple of months ago, to actually pin him, but whatever. Also, to start off everything, by the way, with Randy Orton against Jeff Hardy. How, if you have not seen this, I don't want to spoil it for you, but I'm going to tell you something. That was as bloody and gory as yet you will see. What Randy Orton did to Jeff Hardy's ear was just twisting it more than 360 degrees. Hardy's eyes bulging out of his head. He sold the pain for that. It was just weird. Orton goes to a toolbox, grabs a screwdriver. He locked Hardy's arm between his legs and began pulling on the hole in Hardy's left ear, and placing a screwdriver in the hole and twisting it more than 360 degrees. Oh my God, it was just crazy. It was disgusting. But it was exactly what you want for Hell in a Cell, right? You want to be able to suspend disbelief. There you go. It was very good. So I thought that Hell in a Cell overall was a very, very solid pay-per-view. And lastly, with Becky Lynch winning the championship, again, something that I just don't understand. You have money in Becky Lynch as a babyface, but yet she was kind of turned toward it as a heel role against Charlotte Flair. I don't understand that. Charlotte Flair clearly would probably prefer to be a heel, but is, for whatever reason, a babyface in this against Becky Lynch, who won the championship. Another very, very solid match, about an A-minus, B-plus match, where Becky Lynch wins the SmackDown Women's Championship. Love that. Thought that was great. So I think that the show overall was very good. And by the way, the Raw Women's Championship with Ronda Rousey and Alexa Bliss, I think that it speaks for itself. You know what Ronda Rousey is. She's someone that is an attraction, and getting better in the ring, by the way. And again, I don't expect her to be on the road 300 days a year. It'd be interesting if she did, but I don't think so. But you could just see Ronda Rousey is getting much better in the ring. One thing about that, by the way, Ronda Rousey was punching Alexa Bliss in the face. Then we see Ronda Rousey in MMA punch women in the face and pretty much have them on the mat, and it was probably setting up some kind of submission maneuver to be able to win any MMA. Alexa Bliss should not be able to take a punch from Ronda Rousey, but that's just me. If she's the baddest woman on the planet, pal. If she's the baddest woman on the planet, what then? And Alexa Bliss can take a punch from her. Then that's kind of then Alexa Bliss has got to be tough too, right? That's just strange to me. Okay, again, just psychology. This stuff I've been watching for a long time, but Alexa Bliss taking a punch from Ronda Rousey is just kind of funny because Ronda Rousey legit is a badass, and Alexa Bliss. Think about this as if it's a fight, right? A real fight between Ronda Rousey and Alexa Bliss. Who do you think would win? If someone had to have the first punch and it's Ronda Rousey, you think Bliss would get up? Just saying. It's kind of funny. Some thoughts about the women's movement in professional wrestling. You know, I said this before, but I want to make sure it's clear again regarding the women's movement in the WWE because they got the Mae Young Classic. I've seen a little bit of that. Again, my schedule, I try to be able to see as much as I can so I can comment on it. Seen some of the Mae Young Classic, and I see a number of women's matches, maybe three a show, I think, on Raw, and maybe two on SmackDown. But and there's going to be an all-women's pay-per-view for the WWE coming up pretty soon here in New York. I want to give a shout-out to Dave Prazak, because Dave Prazak was on the women's movement way before everyone else. You can follow him on Twitter and find Dave Prazak and thank him, because the women's movement in the WWE is late. Kind of like how wrestling is anyway. They're usually behind the times. But Dave Prazak had Shimmer. Still has Shimmer. Shimmer is an event that happens. I don't think it's monthly, but it happens. I know they had probably run about 6-7 shows a year where Dave Prazak is the promoter and brings in the best women around the country and around the world to do pay-per-views. It does, I guess, straight to DVD shows. I shouldn't say pay-per-views. Straight to DVD shows. Shimmer was already doing what the WWE is trying to do. So Shimmer was already doing what WWE is trying to do right now, and I think it's great. I think it's great. I think that what the WWE is doing with the women's divisions on NXT and SmackDown and Raw is great, but Shimmer was doing this a long time ago. So shout out to Dave Prazak, because he really is the guy that you look at first that decided to have all women's shows in Berwyn, in the Chicagoland area, those straight to DVD shows. So, you know, shout out to him. I mean, it starts with him. And before we can even look at the WWE, because of the women's movement, look what they're doing with the women's movement. Okay. Okay. All right. Dave was already doing this a long time ago, so I just want to give him a shout out. Before I go on to some other things, by the way, on that All In show, I don't know, I'm all over the place, but I got a lot of stuff on my yellow pad. I'm not a big fan of the three play-by-play announcers on All In. Here's what I mean. Ian Riccoboni, who is the voice of Ring of Honor, is a very good up and coming voice in the business. I think that he is someone I could really listen to for some time because I could just hear the passion in his voice. Hard for him to do play by play when he's with a guy like Excalibur, who I didn't even know, by the way. I don't even know who Excalibur is. He's a guy with a mask, and he was doing the job of Ian. That was odd for me. Like, it's just like, so if Ian is the play-by-play guy, why is Excalibur calling the matches with play-by-play? And also Don Callis was doing some of that as well. And I think Don is the best color analyst that's going right now in the business. But also he's calling the matches and calling the moves. That's not what wrestling is. That's not what announcing is. Announcing is a play-by-play and a color analyst, whether it's a two-man booth or a three-man booth. And the other two people are supposed to do color to try to give you information. And I thought that was distracting to me, that Ian was not able to do his full play-by-play duties when you got Excalibur. The only time he chimed in is he gave you some analysis, but mostly he's just calling the match. Well, that's what the play-by-play guy is there for. That annoyed me. And it's not because it was All In. It just annoyed me because the play-by-play guy is there for a reason. He's there to call the match and tell you the storylines. And Excalibur almost was lost in the sauce. Because Callis is so good as a color analyst that Excalibur didn't know what to say. I prefer the two-man booth over the three-man booth in that regard, by the way, in wrestling. Because the third person always gets lost. Just you watch any WWE show, you know what I'm talking about. When I talk about the business as we look at it right now with the WWE and with Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestling and looking what's happening with the MLW and other places around the country, wrestling's at a very, very good spot. There's no question about that. It's a very, very good spot because there's so many different outlets, and you can go to different places to be able to watch these events, especially on YouTube and the Fight app and all these other places to watch. So I think that wrestling's in a good spot. I will say this, though, that one of the up-and-coming organizations that are out there right now is MLW. I've seen this on the BN Network. You probably have that on your cable or on your satellite. The BN Network, very, very solid matches there and great storytelling from MLW. You can go to MLW.com because they are going to come to Chicago for the first time. They've already been in New York. Now they come to Chicago. They're going to make their debut on November 8th with a Fusion TV taping for BN Sports at the Cicero Stadium in the Chicagoland area. So Cicero Stadium on Laramie Avenue in Chicago. You can go to MLWtickets.com. Tickets go on sale on Saturday at 10 a.m. Chicago time. I believe that is. It says 10 a.m. 10 a.m. Chicago time, as a matter of fact, for MLW. So Kurt Bauer and his group do a great job with MLW. I'm a big fan of it because, number one, it's an hour. And number two, you're seeing up-and-coming rising talent. Now, later on next month, you'll probably hear from MLW talent on this podcast here, this Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday podcast. So we'll talk more about it. But I think that once again, another big show coming to Chicago. MLW saw what happened with All In. I think that many look at Chicago as a great wrestling town, and it is. Chicago is a tremendous wrestling city. And so tickets go on sale starting September 22nd. Also available the day of the show at the Cicero Stadium box office. But go to MLWtickets.com and you'll be able to see the world champion Low Ki, La Park, World Tag Team Champions Pentagon Jr. and Rey Fénix, Conan, Filthy Tom Lawler, MJF, that guy, Matthew J. Friedman. That guy is terrific. His mic skills are just tremendous, and he has an old school flair in a new school company like MLW. I'm a big fan, and Selena De La Renta, oh, big fan. Oh my God, she is just tremendous. I enjoy watching her. If she's just moving around from left to right, or if she's on the mic, she is just great. I enjoy watching her perform. MLWtickets.com is where you go, because they'll have a TV taping, which is going to be great. And since it's on a Thursday, by the way, November 8th, I might have to stop in there. I think I may be there at the Cicero Stadium just to check that out. Let me go to the Facebook questions here, facebook.com, Jonathan Hood. So I see a lot of you sent me some questions about pro wrestling / sports entertainment. We'll get through that right now here on Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. All right, because I think I went through my yellow pad. Let me see. Independent wrestling, women's movement, Hell in a Cell, StarCast, the NWA, All In. Yep, I think I'm good. WGN America. I think we're getting out to the Facebook questions. All right. Facebook.com, Jonathan Hood. Let me start off with Brad. Brad says, do you ever discuss indie wrestling factions like the Premier Pro Wrestling out of Woodstock? I just did, Brad. Thank you. Ted says, is there any way to admit to being a GLOW viewer without that awkward feeling of guilt? I'm asking for a friend. I have not seen the show, Ted, that's on Netflix, GLOW. I'll find some time to watch the actual show. But yes, you could say that you watch GLOW because some of us will admit it. I will admit that I saw GLOW back in the day. Clearly, it was not... When you watch Vern Gagne's AWA and watch World Class, you watch Blood and Guts and all that, and then you see The Farmer's Daughter and you see all those weird characters from David McClane back in the day, it's kind of like, yeah, I'll watch, but it's not wrestling, really? It's not pro wrestling, really? It was just kind of crazy, right? So, yeah, so, yes, you can admit it. Yes, there's a way of saying, yes, I watch wrestling. I watched GLOW back in the day. You guys remember GLOW? And then you could just laugh, but you just know, like, yes, you watched it, but you can still laugh at this at the same time, Ted. So, yes, you can. What else do we have here? Brock Robinson says, probably already on the agenda, but would love to hear your take on All In and its effects on the direction of the industry. I think that, Brock, for sure, that one thing that can be proven for sure is that you have Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks on a dare saying that we're going to book this building in Chicago, right? And they say, okay, 10,000 seats, it's all sold out. And now we're going to get our best friends from Ring of Honor and New Japan and have them come out for the show. I think that's something that you can always do now, especially if you've got talent and you've got television. I know that's an old Vince McMahon kind of credo, but it's true. Because they had WGN America for a pregame, which is tremendous. They have the Fight app, and they did tremendous business. I don't think the Fight has ever done that kind of business, by the way, as far as people paying for that event. And not only that, for StarCast, too. So I think that that says a lot for the business that there was a lot. There was no WWE talent on there. Of course, Chris Jericho came in, which was really funny because Chris Jericho, by the way, the one said, I would never do anything out in the United States because Vince runs the United States. I do stuff in Japan, would never do anything in the U.S. And by the way, he was there for All In, which was a great reveal. I love that, that Chris did that and interfered at the end on the Kenny Omega match. So I think this says a lot for independent wrestling, that to the point where I think there's going to be a second All In. See what else. Evan Thomas says, any scoop on the Bray Wyatt saga, new character, reunion of the Wyatt family? I don't have any scoops on that, no. I will tell you that Bray Wyatt's been misused. You know, he was a WWE champion for a little bit. It's just a complete miss. It's almost to the point where I'm wondering, does the company understand how impactful that he could have been? And maybe they looked at it as saying, well, Bray Wyatt is a character that doesn't need the championship. But I think it was a total miss. That thing was powerful. They miscast him. He was a character babyface, and yet they try to make him as a heel. I just think that they missed on Bray Wyatt. I really do. Now, will there be a new character? I don't know. I just think that they could have done a lot better with him. And making him the world champion, I think, was also out of place, too. I didn't get that either. But I think that it was a lot of start and stop with Bray Wyatt. And I think that in that same Raven, Jake the Snake Roberts, Kevin Sullivan type mold, they really could did something with him. But I think in this PG era, I think that they messed up. And I don't know if a Bray Wyatt, bloodthirsty Kevin Sullivan, Raven, original Sheik type character even works in the WWE. I think it works in independence. I just don't think it works in the WWE or what Bray Wyatt was trying to bring across. Jay says, can you envision Cody Rhodes going back to the WWE? I can envision that. I can envision him going back to WWE as the NWA champion because anything can happen. But here's the thing. I want to make sure it's very clear. As I mentioned earlier in this podcast, professional wrestling to me is better when you have had the territory system, when you had different styles and had talent to watch all across the country. I don't believe that all the independents that you see right now and all the great New Japan wrestlers should all come to WWE. You know why? Because a lot of those guys are going to get lost. The company is big, but sometimes too big to be able to appreciate all the talent that's in that company. Here's what I mean. When you look at NXT, think about all your favorites that you've watched at NXT, and then they come to a SmackDown, they come to a Raw, and they get buried. Why is that? Because the company's too big, and the company's only based on 6 or 8 guys or 3 or 4 women that Vince McMahon actually really likes, and everybody else is mid-card, curtain jerker, jobber. Think about it. What is Bobby Roode now? That's the perfect example of what is Bobby Roode? Just an example. There's many examples, but great NXT matches, great matches, and great performances from NXT under Triple H's banner, and they come to Raw and SmackDown and get buried. I know someone's got to take the pinfall, but all of those guys, all those women. So that's why. When we hear, like, oh, you'd be great if you had some of those New Japan guys come to WWE and the Bullet Club come to WWE. Why? For them to be homogenized and watered down and then having to fight from underneath? Nah, no thanks. That I'll enjoy them in the organizations that they're in right now. Who is... Suleiman's asking me about Matthew J. Friedman. He's asking me, does he think that he will be the next indie superstar? I think he's already there. I think that he does a great job for MLW and other places. I think that his mic skills are tremendous. Tremendous. And I think that he's that old school heel. He has a very punchable face. So Friedman, I think, is very good. Matthew Ward Jr. says, what are your thoughts on Major League Wrestling having a show at the Cicero Stadium? I think it's great. I think I'm going to be there for that, Matthew. At least I'm hoping so. I'm hoping to be there because I'm trying to remember if I've ever been to Cicero Stadium before. I think I have, but I can't remember what the event was. But I'm a fan of MLW, fan of Tony Schiavone, fan of what they're trying to do with that company. I think that Court Bauer's done a great job. And sure, absolutely, I'm looking forward to it. Ed Bloom says, what do you think of that crappy ending at Hell in the Cell? I read earlier in the day on Ringside News app. It's a long post here. Let me get to it. Talked about how Brock Lesnar was walking around backstage and everyone saw him, and I knew that he was going to get involved somehow in the match. Yeah, I don't mind Brock Lesnar getting involved in the match. I just think that the way that the match ended, with the official kind of looking stupid there, I think that that was bad. I think that was bad. He says that they should have had Corbin restart the match. So you can have an actual winner. How about that? A winner and a loser in a main event matchup. Daniel Ramirez says, is All In the business model that can lead to a successful alternative wrestling promotion that can get enough eyes on it to make the WWE uncomfortable? No, it won't make the WWE uncomfortable, but I think it'll make fans happy because that's what you get into business for. Daniel, I think that when you are doing what All In did and what StarCast did and bring all those fans from across the country and around the world to Chicago for this event and then sell it out in 30 minutes, and then you see what's happening with New Japan and when they have these combined cards, New Japan and Ring of Honor, and when they're all coming together, those shows that's on the that Jim Ross calls, I think that... That doesn't make WWE nervous. I just think it makes the business better. That's what I think. That's what I like to see. Because everything WWE is not necessarily great. But you can get an alternative like an All In and really appreciate the business even more so. And get away from SmackDown and Raw and see other talent be able to flourish. I don't think that one company can make the WWE uncomfortable because of the amount of money that they make, but I think the alternative is a good idea to see other wrestlers and what they do in their companies, Daniel. Trevor says that how often do you see Cody defending the NWA Championship on ROH TV, and how often do you see him working other promotions as is part of his obligation to make towns? Also, what is the next major feud do you see him working toward and with whom? I'll have to go listen for my answer. the NWA 70th anniversary show in Nashville. Wish I could go to that, by the way. I think for him, he will take on Aldis again in Nashville, which is cool. For the NWA 70th anniversary, he's going to take on some independents around the country. Willie Mack, I think, is one of them. There's a couple others, because I know he was at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood just recently. So I hope that he's working with other promotions, because if you follow the NWA on that YouTube channel, he will be the traveling champion, just like Aldis was, just like Tim Storm was. One more for you. And that is from Courtney Cross from St. Louis. He says, since there's a surplus of female talent and factions, why not create a women's tag title? It used to be a women's tag title. It wasn't the Jumpin' Bomb Angels back in the day, were the WWF tag team women's champions. Yeah, you could do that now. I think so. I think you can have women's tag team champions. I don't think they should be brand specific, Courtney. I think that they should be... Over Raw and SmackDown and NXT, they should be able to defend the titles anywhere in that WWE brand. Absolutely. You got enough women there to be able to have women tag team championships. The only thing is the owner doesn't like tag team wrestling that much. But I agree. You have so much women's talent. Yeah, I'd love to see more women's, really solid women tag team matches. All right, don't forget to follow me on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood. Also on Facebook and Instagram, IGJHood is where you can find me. I just wanted to get all this out to you because we had so much stuff going on with All In. I didn't talk to you about that because we've been so busy. So I wanted to lay that out to you, the StarCast and how much fun that was, as well as Hell in a Cell that took place this past Sunday. So there you go. So we'll have another one of these sometime soon, talking about what's going on in the world of wrestling / sports entertainment. The executive producer of our program is Sean Davis, and I will talk to you next time with another edition of Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday right here.